Hello, here we are with 1 Timothy lesson number 6 in what we call God's church manual. A manual because it teaches us how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. It tells us how to know what to do in our local churches. In chapter 1, and just a bit of a reviewing here, we have seen in chapter 1 that the responsibility of the pastor is to confront false doctrine. Then, through the center part of this little book, we get the instructions, and those instructions are how to do what we're supposed to do in the local church. He says that thou mayest know how. When we get to the last chapter, we find again that once again, we are told that we are responsible to confront false doctrine. That is so important that we make sure that we confront the false doctrine, because silence gives consent. And if we do not confront the false doctrine and make it exposed to the people, we're going to lose the next generation. So he has written this little book on that we may know how. How is the manner or the way in which things are to be done, and it's all written here for our admonition. Now, as we get into chapter 2 again, as we continue from our last series, we're going to look at Paul dealing with God's authority structure. In the home, you can look at Ephesians 5 and Proverbs chapter 6 concerning authority in the church, Ephesians 4, Hebrews 13, and 1 Peter chapter 5 concerning the government, 1 Peter 2 and Romans chapter 13. And concerning the business world, Colossians 3 and 1 Peter chapter 2. God deals very specifically with an authority structure. We're dealing with the local church here, and in Hebrews 13 and 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now notice verse 7, it says, "They have spoken the word of God to you." It says in verse number 17, "They watch for your souls," obviously referring to the pastor. In verse 7, it says, "They rule over you." In verse 17, it says, "They rule over you." God has an authority structure. Now, it's very important to understand God's authority here is in the same manner as a shepherd has authority over his sheep. He takes care of the sheep. I heard a fellow preaching one time, and he was talking about another friend of his who was preaching in some other town, and he referred to him, and he said, and God's man is on the throne over there in that church. That's a whole lot of stupidity. We don't sit on a throne. A shepherd doesn't sit on a throne. We're shepherds. We are to submit to the authority of God and get in directions from God, and then it is our responsibility to teach the people in a manner that a shepherd teaches his sheep. Well, with God's authority structure, which we get on to our lesson here today in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Let the women learn in silence in all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity, and in holiness with sobriety." Now you'll notice in this verse, these verses 11 to 15, it mentions the word woman three times. Before I go any further, I want to say, don't shoot the messenger, all right? I'm just here today telling you what the Bible says. I will tell you what the Bible says. Whether I'm going to be attacked by some woman with a gun, I have more respect for what God wants me to do than I have for what women want me to do. However, I am just here to tell you what the Bible says. So if you're going to get angry with anybody, get angry with God. Be thankful there are a few people left who will still preach the whole counsel of God. Now, it's very important to understand here that the context of what we're talking about is the local church. And this is not an easy portion of Scripture to understand. We will look at it by keeping it in its context. That is extremely important. First, Paul said, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection." Now, it's important when studying the Scriptures that we keep everything in its context, and it's also important that we compare Scripture with Scripture. And so we find in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." I mean, they come through the door, they can't talk anymore? No, the context of 1 Corinthians has to do with the problem that was going on in that very carnal church at Corinth of speaking in tongues. And when it was, and there was a purpose for tongues back then, there's absolutely no purpose for it today. However, when that situation was 2,000 years ago and they were speaking in tongues, what Paul was writing about there was that they were not permitted to speak in tongues. That is, women were not permitted to speak in tongues. And so, again, today, if you take the women out of the tongues movement, it'll die in about 6 hours. However, we see the principle is established in both scriptures concerning the position of a woman in the local church. Now, in order to understand it a little better, we'll look here at verse 13. It says, "Adam was first formed, then Eve." Notice this, "Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Now, Adam was first formed. God could have made the woman first. He didn't. He did what he wanted to do, and let's let God be God, all right? He made the man first. Goes on to say in Genesis 2 and verse 20, it tells us that the woman was made to be a helpmeet for Adam. God's purpose for a woman is to make her husband successful in God's definition of the word successful, and I think most women will quickly admit they got their hands full doing that. Now, in verse 13, again, it says, "Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." What happened was Eve listened to the devil, and Adam listened to his wife. Now, when they were trying to make their defense before God, Eve said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And Adam's defense was, "The woman, you gave her to me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And both of them are kind of blaming God. "You made the serpent, you made the woman." We've been passing the buck ever since. Well, God charged Adam with listening to the advice of his wife and to follow her into her sin. He was not deceived. He did what he did with his eyes wide open. He did it because he had more love for his wife than he did for God. Now, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 17, God said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So he hearkened unto the voice of his wife to do something which was against the word of God. Abraham made the same mistake, you remember, back in Genesis 3. Abraham hearkened unto the voice of his wife. She said, "Why don't you take my handmaid and have a child by her?" And the result was the beginning of all the wars in the Middle East that started back then. And those two boys, one born of Sarah and the other one born of her handmaid, and they've been arguing ever since because Abraham was her father, who owns the property, and they're still fighting about it today. Both Eve and Sarah started out with a great testimony for God, and both of them changed. They have this tremendous power of influence. Now, we're talking about authority. Authority is one position. Influence is another. Sometimes influence has more power than the authority does. Well, we're back to the church here at Ephesus. The men and women at Ephesus started out with a good testimony, but they changed. Within 40 years, that church was gone. Like the Corinthians, they ignored Paul when he said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The Bible says the woman being deceived was in the transgression. But verse 15 says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Notice, let's read that verse again. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, the children, continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, what we have here for the woman is a tremendous opportunity. The phrase, she shall be saved, has nothing to do with eternal life. Many times the word saved is used in the scriptures, and it's talking about being saved physically. For instance, in Acts 27, in that storm on that ship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, we cannot be saved. He wasn't talking about going to heaven. He was talking about being saved physically. The word saved is also used sometimes in the scripture to be saved emotionally. Psalm 107:13, he saved them out of their distresses. Jeremiah 6, we read, ask for the old paths wherein is the good way. Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So we're dealing here with childbearing. The term childbearing relates to the home. In verse 15, we have the words holiness with sobriety, referring to the children. Now, the word sobriety is only found twice in the Word of God. First, in verse 9, where it deals with the woman's modesty, and again in verse 15, where it deals with a mother teaching her children in the home. And so she has this tremendous opportunity. In Titus, God again focuses on the home, where we read the aged women as becometh holiness, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers in the home. And so what God is giving the woman here in this verse is a tremendous opportunity. We must always keep verses in their context. So the context of 1 Timothy 2:15 is used in the sense of a woman not having to be involved in leadership in a local church to be successful. Paul focused here on the tremendous and very rewarding responsibility of the woman teaching their children so that they will continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. A tremendous opportunity to be teaching the children, notwithstanding. Now, verse 15 again, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Notice that word there. The word means in spite of and refers to the fact that in spite of being deceived, the woman can save herself from a life of defeat as a Christian by teaching her children to continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And so the Bible talks in Proverbs 31, speaking of the virtuous woman, it says her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. It says her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Be sure to be with us for our next session, lesson number 7 in God's Church Manual.